we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
To compare with you, I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. Just lift your hands. There is nothing, there is no one to compare with you. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. With your hands lifted, oh, I take pleasure in worshiping. We take pleasure in worshiping. Oh, we take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. Oh, I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. Lord, you are so good. You are so faithful. You are so gracious. We love and adore you. Ilamakora simakotasia. Membro bakisamakonda sister frupatelike pataya. Henabako sematilakaya. Oh, how we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Saki belokotosia. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 6 from verse 13, very quickly. Hebrews 6, verse 13. My confidence is in the covenant. Amen. Part 1b, my confidence is in the covenant. Part 1b. Hallelujah. Praise God. My confidence is in the covenant. How many of you believe that? Amen. You see, there's a way the algorithm of the earth is designed. And the design is very simple, that nobody really amounts to anything on this earth without an invisible system of advantage, without an invisible support system. Are we together? Because the physical world, the material world, is subservient to the invisible world. And anyone who knows how to manipulate laws, how to manipulate personalities, beings in the invisible realm, will always have the advantage in the physical realm. Hallelujah. You've heard us say this again and again, that life is 100% spiritual. In fact, life is 110% spiritual. We added a 10 so you can pay attention. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So nobody amounts to anything on this side of eternity without being assisted by spirit, or without having an invisible system of advantage or support structure, as it were. Glory to God forevermore. You know, for some, is their intellectual prowess. It's invisible, but it's a force. Unfortunately, that force has limitations. Are you with me? For others, it is occultic powers. They are those who have gone to the kingdom of darkness to seek power. The trouble with that is Satan gives you things at the expense of your life. And it's actually bad business. Amen? anybody who is wise should never trade his soul for power, okay, financial power, for political power, whatever kind of power, because it's always bad business. Amen. You always open your spirit up to things you will never you'll never be able to explain. You understand what I mean? What you lose is far more, far much more than what you think you're gaining. Hallelujah. But for us, we have an invisible support system. Glory to God. It is God's commitment to his word. It is what we call the covenant. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. It is the finished works of Jesus. You can call it that way. Hallelujah. It is Mekobredos Kepaya. Mandezoshtepa. Lika. It is salvation. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That is our invisible support system. And you see, the earlier we begin to demonstrate confidence in this thing, the better. The earlier we begin to show that, look, we truly believe this. You know, the psalmist says, some may trust in horses, others trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of our God. Meaning we will trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. By the way, name is not just a means of identification. He's talking about the personality. He's talking about authority. He's talking about power there. We will remember the name of our God. Glory to God forevermore. That means in life, your mind must be on something. There's no such thing as I don't believe anything. You see, the foolishness of those who claim not to believe anything cannot be overemphasized. They are really foolish. You understand? To say, when I don't believe a thing, you are lying. Everybody believes something. Glory to God. It's impossible to breathe this air and not believe something. The same person who says, I don't believe anything, or I don't believe in what my eyes cannot see, they're just lying. You ask them, have you ever seen oxygen before? And they'll tell you, well, I've not seen oxygen, but science tells us, you know, you can isolate it in the lab. And I laugh. I laugh. You know why I lie? Why I laugh? That means they are saying they were able to see oxygen. Actually, they can't see it. They were able to believe oxygen because somebody told them there was an oxygen. Or even if you ever told that, okay, if an oxygen is trapped in a gas jar, this is how it behaves. You were told. You were told. So eventually, we all believe what we're told. Amen. Eventually, everybody has to be brainwashed. Just choose your soap and water carefully. Amen. No, everybody. All these pastors, they are brainwashing people. You are also brainwashed. Chances are you heard that from somewhere. All this, you know, people just say all kinds of things. Listen, the Bible is a brainwashing material. The Bible says that it may wash you by the washing of regeneration, right? It said that it may wash us by the washing of water by the word. By the washing of water by the word. I chose the soap and the water of the word. Can I get an amen? You have to be brainwashed. So there's no such thing as, well, I just believe in myself. Somebody say, I'm a thinker. I'm a thinker. I'm just a thinker. No, he says, I'm a free thinker. I think that's what they say. I'm a free thinker. That's a fallacy. That's it. You are not a free thinker. You have a reference point for your thought. It's no longer free. Your current thinking has been conditioned by something you were told. Even the fact that you thought you were a free thinker, you heard it from somewhere. You are not the first free thinker. That means you are no longer free. You are a victim of another man's thinking. That means even when we get to the intellectual plane, you don't pass the test. You don't pass the test. We believe what we're told. The Bible says, if we believe the testimony of man, the testimony of God is greater. If we believe the testimony of man, the testimony of God is greater. What we are sharing with you is the testimony of God. If you can believe the testimony of men, believe the testimony of God. Number one, it means you can believe. Therefore, choose to believe the testimony of God. Oh, hallelujah. You were told that you were born on the 2nd of August, 1982. And you believed. You were brought home. you were told that this is your brother, this is your sister, this is your brother, this is another sister, and he believed. You say, well, I look like them. I've told you, there are many people you look like in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But see, you believed. My point is, you were not in the hospital when you were born. And newsflash, there were many people who were lied to concerning their birthplace and their date of birth, true or false. They were lied to. My point is, there are many things you believe because of the testimony of men. You were told and you believe it. You were told. Now you celebrate your birthday. I'm born on the 2nd of August. Oh, everybody celebrate with me. I'm 30 years old today. I'm this year old today. You are not there. You believe the testimony of men. Listen, the testimony of God is greater. And God has testified of his son. That was what the Apostle John says. He has testified of his son. That means you should be able to take God at his word. This is what I'm arguing for. You should be able to take God at his word. You should be able to jump at the word of God, knowing that it works. If men can tell you things and believe in, produce a certain kind of confidence, a certain kind of result, you should believe the testimony of God. You should believe what God has to say about you, about his son. Glory to God. What God has to say about life. That is the testimony of God. And the testimony of God is the gospel. Hallelujah. It is the gospel. That is the storehouse of faith. When the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you see, don't just take word of God generically, okay? You have to understand the context and what really produces faith. The faith of the New Testament. The faith that the Bible calls the faith of the Son of God. See, there's the faith of the Son of God. There's human faith. Have you ever heard this? If you believe in yourself, if you believe you can do it, you can do it. Yes, that works in a way. But there is the faith of the Son of God. That if you believe you can do it, you can do it. When that faith meets cancer, it cannot survive it. But when you come with the faith of the Son of God, there are no impossibilities on the earth. Are you with me? Are you with me? Then if you believe you can do it, you can do it. When he meets arrows from the village, he can't do anything. Oh, there's no answer. There's no answer. Because the power of the human mind, the power of the human soul, the power of self-effort, whatever they're trying to explain, has no answer for arrows from the village. And arrows travel very far. I told you the story of a man of God who was casting out the devil in UK from a white person. Also, the devil spoke Yoruba. He said, you are here? The devil said, we are here. That means, listen, custom boundaries does not hold demons. Are you with me? Your custom officer cannot hold the demon. He passes the border. Life is spiritual. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. When people are still playing kalo kalo with their lives as Christians, I laugh. I laugh. You will find what works and hold it. Are you with me? Find what works, and this gospel works, and hold it. And don't do like this. Hold it. The world have no answers. The world has no plans for you. But God has all the plans. He packaged it in the gospel and sent it. Such that every time you hear of that report, faith is stirred in your heart. Oh, I was talking about the faith of the Son of God. That self-effort, faith itself cannot produce that kind of faith. It can't. Can't. That faith comes when you hear the gospel. That faith comes when you hear the report. Romans 10 verse 16 tells us. He says, but they have not all believed the gospel. For Isaiah had said, who has believed our report? So the gospel there is the report that Isaiah proclaimed in Isaiah 53. Glory to God. So it is that gospel that is the word that brings faith in verse 17. Are you with me? Meaning, listen to me, you have to catch this. There are many things you can see from scriptures, but not everything you can see from here in itself will produce the faith of God. Until sense is made out of the scriptures, the faith of God cannot be produced. Are you with me? And what do we mean by making sense out of scriptures? Seeing the gospel in the scriptures. Seeing Christ revealed in the scriptures. Seeing what the prophets really testified to in the scriptures. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and was raised for our dikaiosis according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. This testimony of God concerning his covenant, that is the gospel. Concerning his commitment, his love commitment to man, as expressed in the coming, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, that is the gospel. In the first service, I read Romans 15. Amen. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 15, rather. How that Paul was saying, look, there was a gospel I preached to you. That gospel brought to salvation. It is in that gospel that you are standing. And when Paul begins to talk like that, you have to pay attention. Are you with me? And he says, look, this gospel, I preached it. It began by telling you that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and was raised according to the scriptures. This was the gospel that Paul preached. That means this death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, this new covenant ratified by the sacrifice of Jesus, is a cornerstone of our faith. You must understand what it means. There are Christians that are more excited when you are preaching the doctrine of righteousness and you are talking about what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. You are talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. And listen, you can spend eternity unveiling Christ from scriptures. Are you aware? But you see, they are believers. When you're talking about that, they are not tickled. Okay. But when you hear how to understand the colors, the spiritual significance of colors, how to understand the meaning of dream. When they throw you stone in the dream, what does it mean? When you are eating in a dream, what does it mean? Are you with me? When somebody gives you a necklace in the dream, what does it mean? You know, there are different kinds of dreams. There are parabolic dreams. There are literal dreams. And they say, oh, that's what they listen to. They say there are 9 classes of angels and 10 classes of demons. They call it deep stuff. That's shallow. That's shallow. That's shallow. They are minor courses. They are electives. But funny enough, there are Christians who are excited by those quote and unquote spiritisms. When they say, oh, look at, there's a shape of a lion over just today. That means God is answering our prayer. Let me tell you, if you get into those things, Satan will whip you again and again and again. The Bible says God in time past and in different manners spoke to our fathers, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he had made heir of all things. He called him who is the effulgence of his glory, the express image of his person. By him he made all things, and in him all things consist. Are you with me? That means the language of the Father now is his Son. That means if you are not seeing his Son, you are not hearing him. Oh God. Oh, are you with me? If you are not seeing his Son, you are not hearing him. Let me go ahead of myself a little. Listen, if believers are not seeing the Christ, they are not growing. They may be praying, falling down, seeing miracles, seeing signs and wonders. Listen, if Christ is not being beheld, there is no spiritual growth. None. If you are not seeing him, you are not growing. Something else is happening. And interestingly, life will come to test it. This is why you see people hanging around some circles. They say, oh, these are happening. They say there is prophetic depth. They say there's this one. Over the years, when you ask them very simple thing, they don't understand. When the minutest of challenge comes to them, there's no functional faith. Because they never beheld Christ. They were listening to mysteries. They were listening to mysteries. And there are no mysteries in the New Testament. The New Testament is the Old Testament mysteries revealed. What God concealed in the old is revealing the new.
God doesn't want to be a mystery anymore. He's showing himself. He's not public. Didn't you? The Bible says Jesus is not a secret to be kept. He wants all asunder to see him. Are you with me? If believers are not beholding the Christus, they are not growing. I've been around long enough to tell you that. They are not growing. They may speak the language, but when the test of growth comes, you wonder, when it's time to walk in love, they don't even know how to walk in love. Do you understand? I'm not saying they are trying, they have no idea on how to go about it. You see, sister, how you supposed to be deep, walking in terrific unforgiveness and bitterness, a very deep dimension. Where is the depth? When the first indicator of your spiritual growth is your love walk. And listen, you cannot walk in love if you have not seen Christ. You can't. You can be formino. You can pretend on the outside. When the rubber hits the road or meets the road, it will be obvious that you don't understand what love means. Are you with me? Glory to God forevermore. And by the way, love is not carrying bag of rice on your shoulder and giving to the poor people and it's being televised. It's on record. Say, OCI is helping poor people. This is what we're talking about. God is love. Are you telling me that he's not a man of God? When Jesus says, how will men know you? Is when you walk in love. I don't even know where to start with you. I don't know where to start with you. Didn't you read? Not all givers are lovers. It's there, 1 Corinthians 13. It says, I can give my goods to the poor and have not love. I can give my body to be burnt and have not love. Are you with me? We must understand what God says. We must understand the scriptures. We must. We must understand what the gospel is about. We must understand what the scripture is about. We must understand God's focus. We must understand God's testimony and believe in his testimony. Are you with me? It's compulsory. This is what Paul preached. He didn't preach any other thing. It's amazing that the apostles didn't see anything new. You know, sometimes when we preach from the epistles, people are like, this is just the epistles. Okay? These are just the writings of men. But you see, they had the authority in the writings of the law and the prophets. You can go home with this. Go and study everything they wrote. There was nothing they said that is new. It was just an unveiling of what had already been there. What had always been there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But let me show you one scripture in Acts 26. Acts 26. When Paul was defending himself before Agrippa, right? Just put up Acts 26. He's somewhere. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 22, right? Verse 22. Acts 26. Look how Paul says. You know, there are many beautiful portions of the scripture. We'll have to look for a good place. Okay. I was talking about the heavenly vision. He said, whereunto, O King Agrippa, 19. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and them to the Gentiles and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophet and Moses say should come. You know what he's saying? Paul said, I didn't preach any other message. I was just explaining Moses and the prophet. I didn't see anything different. It was just the unveiling of Moses and the prophet. The things that say should come. The things that said should happen. They are testimony to the essence of the covenant. Are you with me? We're talking about confidence in the covenant. Amen. The covenant is the gospel. Okay? But the gospel is about God's commitment to his word. That's the essence of the teaching. Now, when you go to Genesis, Genesis 15, let's go to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 15. Thank you, Lord. Let's read 8. Let's start from verse 8. Let me see how to break into this today. Glory to God. I laid certain foundations in the first service, and you should go and get the material. Now, the idea of covenant, when you hear us talk about covenant, we have a context. This is not what you will get. You'll not get the full import of what we are saying if you check out the meaning of covenant in an English dictionary. Amen. Okay, what we're discussing is deeper than that. Okay, in our context, we're talking about God's commitment to his word as demonstrated in the coming of our Lord Jesus and in the works that he did and in the glories that followed his suffering. Are we together? This is our discussion. Okay, so God began after the fall of man to set a path for man's redemption in Genesis 3. Okay, man fell and hid himself, and again it was God that ran towards man, or it was God who came towards man and says, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And Adam said, I was naked and I hid myself. And he told him, say, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you're naked? Have you eaten the fruit from the tree that I told you not to eat from? And all that happened, and Adam was thrown out of the garden. Okay, but you see, Adam used fig leaves to cover himself, and God came and took a warm skin from an animal and clothed them. Look at that love. Amen. So who made the first move? God. So from Genesis, God has always made the first move. Hallelujah. We're not the ones chasing after God. He's been chasing after us. As is a discovery of his passion for our presence, of his passion concerning us, of his love towards us. And then we are overwhelmed by that love, and we receive that love and respond accordingly. Are we together? So God began to set forth a plan for man's redemption. Okay? And then in different dispensation, you meet a man, okay, who will be his messenger or his representation of man before God. Are we together? We had Seth. We had Enoch. We had Noah. In fact, in the days of Noah, God had to destroy everybody in the world. And only Noah and his household were preserved. And God called a covenant with Noah. Amen. And then we trace that bloodline to Abraham. Okay. And God met Abraham, called him. He said, come out of your father's house unto a land that I will show you and all that. And Abraham began to walk with God, began to hear God. Genesis 14, he met this strange man called Melchizedek. It's okay. He gave him the tithe of all. And then Melchizedek blessed him. And then we get to Genesis 15. He did something at the end of Genesis 14. Okay. He refused to partner with the sodomic system for prosperity. And God was impressed. He refused to compromise. And God was impressed. Are you with me? And God said, Abraham, I've seen what you have done. Fear not, I am your shield. Okay. And your exceeding great reward. That means as others are looking for reward, I am your reward. Amazing, isn't it? What the word of assurance. I am your reward. And then Abraham didn't stop there. I mean, if God told you, appeared to you and said, I am the reward, you'd be excited and said, everything is going to work out. Now, I'm saying this to say this. A lot of times, the people who we see as heroes in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, we're actually better than them in many ways. Now you're quiet on me. The for some of you are so taught and so schooled, if God spoke to you, you just receive it and rejoice and run with it. And say, Lord, thank you. I'm patient. I know it's going to come to pass. They told Abraham, I'm your reward. I'm your shield. Abraham said, God, calm down. You have been telling me nice things. I don't have a child. God said, what do we do? Come out of your tent. Look toward heaven. Can you tell the stories of the stars? So shall your seed be. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God. It was credited to him for righteousness. Meko barakapaya. Hallelujah. And God said, look, I'm going to give you all this land. That's verse 7 now. You can put it up as I quote it. I'm going to give you and your seed all this land. Okay? That is your seed I showed you. It's going to come to pass. Abraham believed. I'm going to give your seed, you and your seed, all this land. And then Abraham began to ask question again. He said, Lord, how shall I know that I will inherit it? God was not intimidated. Listen, your questions don't intimidate God. Are you with me? God is big enough, is wise enough to answer your questions. But sometimes he wants you to trust him beyond the answers you get. Because listen, sometimes it's not about God not giving us answers. It's about us being positioned to receive the answers he's giving. Oh, glory to God. Did you hear that? That means you have to trust God faithful first. You don't ask God questions from a position of prejudice. You're asking him because you know he loves you and he wants to talk to you. But that's by the way. So Abraham asked, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And God said, bring me animals. Cut them into two. I will cut a covenant with you. Oh, hallelujah. I will cut a covenant with you. I will cut a covenant with you. I will cut a covenant with you. Now, if you notice the articles of the Levitical priesthood, of the sacrifices of the Levitical priesthood, which were all a type of the sacrifice of Christ, you will see that they are the same things that God was asking for here. Are you with me? That means this covenant was about Christ. This covenant was about what Christ was coming to do. Are you with me? This was about God assuring Abraham that he's committed to his word. Let's read Hebrews now. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 6. I told us to go there, but we didn't read it. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. I need you to pay attention. Saying, surely blessing I will bless you. Multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the mutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Are you getting this? Two things. He's saying Abraham believed him and got the promise. But beyond that, the promise, the essence, and this is where you come in. The reason why God swore, okay, which is what we call the covenant, was to show to the heirs of the promise. Who are the heirs of the promise? The seed of Abraham. Who are the seed of Abraham? Those who are in Christ. Galatians 2, 26, 27, 28 tells us. Are you with me? So, when God was standing before Abraham and assuring him and cutting covenant, part of what God was after was to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. Are you with me? When God sent Jesus and he came and he hung on the cross, he died, he was buried, he was raised again. What God was demonstrating is to show to the heirs of the promise, which is you and I, the immutability of his counsel. He wants you to know that he will never abandon you. He wants you to know that you can go to the market with his word. The check will not bounce. He wants you to know that every word he speaks to you is blood sworn. Are we together? This is not because God cannot keep his word. It's because he wants to assure your heart so that your faith can be firm. And every time you meditate on these words, your heart is assured of the Father's commitment to you, of the Father's commitment to his word, of the Father's commitment to the covenant. That's what he's saying. He wanted to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. When you saw by his stripes you were healed, you can go to the market with it. When you read from the Psalms, talking about the righteous man, he says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. You can go to the market with it. You can stand on it. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, you can. Next week, I'll begin to teach you about developing confidence in the covenant. You can develop it. You can develop it. Where your mind, I told you at the beginning of the service, that your mind at the beginning of the sermon rather, that your every desire, your mind must be on something. When you make a move, there must be a source of confidence. You're either trusting in your flesh, trusting in some power, or trusting in the covenant. Amen. There's no such thing as a blank mind walking through the earth. There's no such thing. Hallelujah. He wanted to know. He wanted to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. Then he swore an oath. He swore. Imagine God swearing. Amen. Imagine God swearing. It's not your primary school swear. It's not that one. Amen. So I swear I did not do it. And by the way, stop swearing. Amen. The Bible tells us not to. This is blood swearing. We call it oath or promise. That means he stood in blood and made a declaration. In blessing, I will bless you. I made a declaration. I am committed to your seed forever. Hallelujah. Now, let me just introduce the concept a little. You know, the Bible says Jesus, the Lamb, was slain from the foundations of the earth. Meaning, you see, in the realm of the spirit, there is no time. Have it together. The past, the present, and the future is happening at the same time. That means as we're talking, the Lamb has been slain. Amen. In the days of Abraham, the Lamb has been slain. Are you with me? Now, the physical manifestation, the full manifestation or the full expression of the Lamb being slain happened over 2,000 years ago. That is in the earth realm. That is God ratifying it in the earth realm to make it legal. But here's where I'm going. Even before that happened, because the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth, God was creditworthy. You know what that means? That means the Old Testament saints could draw on the benefit of the Lamb slain, even when Jesus had not come to die. Do you understand me? You know, when we talk about credit worthiness in the bank, they don't give you a loan if you're not credit worthy. That means you can begin to access something, okay, because you are considered credit worthy. We are saying you can pay back. Do you understand? You can pay back. So before Jesus was manifested, who was the full price? There was a credit worthiness. God could pay back. I don't know who got that. And this was what happened in Genesis 15. God intruded into Abraham's context. He came into his culture. That was how covenants were cut. And the moment people do that, they go to rest. No more arguments. No more conflict. Their hearts are assured that this person will defend me, as he has said in the blood covenant. Now, look at the boldness of the Old Testament saints. Look at their boldness. In those days, there were bullies, in case you don't know. There was nothing like United Nations to defend you. There was no human right. If you had more armies, you intimidated everybody. and enslaved everybody. Are you with me? There's nothing like human rights or international community to cry to. But look at the way the patriarchs lived. You will see them on the outside. They looked helpless. You know, Abraham was not a king, but he could do what kings could not do. When Chedorlaomer, the bully, bullied everybody, it was Abraham who rescued the people. Glory to God. The covenant. You see his boldness. In the house of Abimelech, you see his boldness. They know it's my sister. And then his covenant partner showed up. Hi. His covenant partner showed up. This is what we are saying. When earth, anything on the earth threatens you, you have a covenant partner. And again, remember, in that regard, we're not saying you are in agreement to. We're not saying the God of your covenant shows up. He says, Abimelech, you're a dead man. Who lied? Who told Abimelech that it was his sister? He was Abraham. And God did not appear to Abraham at night. Rather, he appeared to Abimelech. You're a dead man. You're a dead man. Why? In the arena of covenant, it's about interest. It's not right or wrong. You'll get it next year. Let me tell you something. You do anything wrong, it's between you and God. Did you get me? And the fellow human being you have hurt, amen. Satan is not in the equation. It's in the New Testament. I say, who is he that justifies? It is Christ who died. Who shall lay charge against God's elect? It is Christ who died. Amen. Are you with me? Meaning, you know, there are Christians. I have to say this. As we teach, especially as pastors, you see, part of what to do by the Spirit is to visit the configurations of mindsets embedded in people's subconscious. That's part of what to do by the Spirit. There are believers who truly believe that, if they did something wrong by mistake, Satan will kill them. Amen. Because what they did was wrong. Listen to me. When you do something wrong because of your conscience toward God, because you are in a love relationship, you know, okay, your conscience tells you, or the word of the Lord reveals to you, because the word of God is superior to our conscience. In fact, it is the word that trains our conscience. You can't leave the righteousness of God to the level of conscience, though, because conscience has context. Selah. It has context. I'm telling you, there are Christians, as we talk now, so of course they were not taught the word, who have the cultural context that cohabiting with someone and having sex with the person until you are married is normal. Are you with me? So, someone who is raised in that cultural context, okay, may have their conscience built. Of course, the other side is their ignorance of God's word. Who have their conscience built in a way that is below the standard of the word. Are you getting me? But you see, when you get into God's word, your conscience has to be upgraded in that regard. Hope you got what I just said. Back to what I was trying to explain earlier. So, someone does something wrong. You see, because you're in a relationship with God, you talk to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. Okay, and receive your forgiveness. And by the way, God is not going to forgive you. God has forgiven you. He's not going to forgive you. Amen. He has forgiven you. There's a love relationship. Okay? There's a love relationship. You love him. And your conscience is soft towards him. You do something wrong, you talk to him, receive forgiveness. But what I'm saying is, Satan has no legal right in your space because of something you did wrong. Are you with me? No, look at what happened to Abraham now. How come Satan could not, he was the one who said the wrong thing. How come Satan could not mobilize Abimelech, right, to sleep with his wife? You know what God said when he appeared? He said, I know, in the innocence of your heart, I kept you away from touching her. That is remarkable. That is remarkable. Remarkable stuff. Glory to God forevermore. They were confident. When they went to war, they were confident. You saw that when David faced Goliath, you could see the confidence. You see that in the language of the prophets. Oh, you could hear it. You could hear it. It was a covenant that powers the boldness now. You could hear it. Elisha heard that the king of Israel was shaking when the king of Syria sent Naaman to Israel to be healed of leprosy. He says, why is the king shaking? Send him to me. I will heal him. And he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. A prophet. He didn't say there is a God in Israel. A prophet. A prophet in Israel. Remarkable. 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 And in the New Testament, we're saying, you know, I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. You know, I'm not the healer. In the New Covenant. Where old prophet, he said, bring him to me, I'll heal him. And he will know there's a prophet in Israel. And God was not angry. Sit down, let me tell you something. This whole concept of sharing glory with God, get into your Bible and understand how God thinks. Understand how God thinks. God is not nervous. God does not have ego problem. God is not, I don't know if you understand. I don't. God is not egocentric. God does not have esteem issues. Are you with me? If you have capacity to take what he has, he will give you. Your own problem is capacity. His capacity. Old prophet, here is language. The New Testament prophet. You know, certain confessions come from that long period of being schooled in condemnation, okay, and law. That's where those things come from. We have come again. We have come again. Father, we have come again. Where did you go to? Where have you been? You are supposed to live in his presence. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Passing you to where? He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you here? Passing you to where? I know some of you are angry with me. I'm saying it anyways. Let me tell you. Listen, you need to hear this. You cannot have more glory beyond the level of your revelation of the Christ. Amen. You can't. The glory you exude is dependent on the glory of the revelation that has been given to you. It will either show now or later. Are we together? My point is, hear the conversation of an old prophet. Send it to me. I'll heal him of his leprosy. When the son of the Shunammite woman died, no, let's not even go there. Can we see on Elijah a little bit? Talking about confidence in the covenant. I mean, the Shunammite woman had been caring for them. Every time he's passing, she told her husband, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. I perceive, honor for the anointed. I perceive that this is a holy man of God. The man of God was not in need. The Bible says she will bring them in, take care of them. And then she told her husband, let's build a loft, okay? An upper chamber and put a bed, a chair, and a table there for the prophet. And a lamp, prophetic requirement. So that every time he's passing by, he may lodge there. Amen. And then one day the prophet said, Kai, this woman has invested so much in her ministry. What can I do? What can I do for her? I said, well, she said, well, I don't need anything. I leave her mom. He said, should I speak to the king for you? I said, well, if you notice, the expression of the anointing upon Elisha was a little different from the one upon Elijah. You know, Elijah was always fighting the kings. Elisha was a mentor to the kings. Did you notice that? And that is very, very, very important. This is not Bible school, so let's not get into that. Let me close the discussion. Let me close the discussion here. Let me not go beyond this. Let me not go beyond here. But here's the point. Should I talk to the kings? I live among my own people. And then the servant said, well, she doesn't have a child. Say, call her for me. Looked at her. He said, by this time next year, according to the time of life, you will embrace a son. He did not pray. He did not meditate. He did not ask, God, what are you saying? Are you going to... No, he acted on his stature with God. He acted based on his walk of covenant. He acted based on the rights he had according to this Abrahamic covenant. He says, by this time next day, according to the time of life, not that you embrace a child. No, you will embrace a son. And the Bible says it came to pass according to the word of Elisha. Now, those are the men they call men of God. Do you understand? Not every pastor is a man of God. Do you understand? You have to graduate to being a man of God. A man of God is someone who speaks for God, who has stature in the spirit. He can rely on the stature and get things done on the earth. Are you here? Amen. I'm sure somebody will vex after this service where they call you man of God. Say, don't call you man of God. Though. Let me go and press. Don't call which man of God? Pass. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's important. You know, that anger will help you break into the power of God. There was a time years ago as a younger man, I turned myself, I said, what kind of man of God are you? What kind of man of God are you? And then I began to fast and pray. Amen. I began to fast and pray. What kind of man of God are you? You are not man of God because your friends call you man of God, apostle. No. You will prove your calling. You will prove to us that you are a man sent from God. Are you here? Mendo kebros kishteporaba. Confidence in the covenant. So you are not speaking with your mouth shaking. You can say, by this time next year, this business will be times 10. Hear me, and you'll get it done. Oh, you don't believe me? You'll get it done. You will say, this year, I enter into this level of finances. And it will happen. Oh, yes, it will. Now, you are speaking because your mind is on something. You're not speaking because of what you have in your pocket. Rise to your feet. Woo. Have you been blessed? Hallelujah. Miro fagasina mahaya. Just put Philippians 3:3 up. We'll read it as we break bread. If you have TPT, you can put it up. Mako broskipa. Speak in tongues where you are. Just bless the name of the Lord. Just bless the name of the Lord. Lika poro boko sosho. Me ala bago sosho tolia kabra. E ya roba gabara. E ya rabago semani de 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 de. E la bagabodo siga bayara da de 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 de. E ya roba go semani de 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 de. Thank you, Lord. Can you bless the name of the Lord where you are? The hall is too quiet. What's going on? Bless the Lord where you are. Bless him. Oh, just bless the Lord and honor him. Just bless the Lord and honor him. Hallelujah. Membros kishtepora bakaya. Mika patosishtepora baka. If you don't pray, we'll stand like this till evening. We'll lock the door. Talk to the Lord. Express yourself. You've been blessed, I believe that. Talk to the Lord. Bless him. Honor him. Honor him. Meko brebika sushtapura dile kepaya. Endoliga sepron dile koposa. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read a scripture for us. Let me read a scripture for us. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and what? If I'm your pastor, there are scriptures that should excite you. If I'm truly your pastor, there are scriptures that should excite you. There are scriptures you should complete, okay, before they are completed. This is one of them. Can we read it again? One to go. Read it like someone who has heard something. Like someone who is excited about this gospel. That is your only hope. Nothing else. Do you understand? Nothing else. Can you read it? Like this is your hope. And listen, your attitude is important. We will talk about bringing God on the scene. There's a way to bring God on the scene. Your attitude is important. Part of it is joy. That celebration. That boldness of faith. There's a way you are leaping on it. Once that is not there, okay, you've heard something nice. Next. That's all. Can we try it with this scripture? Let your spirit leap. Do you understand? Let your spirit leap. Let it leap at this word. Let it leap at this word. Are you ready to read it? Put it up on the screen. One, two, go. Let me hear you. Can we read it again? One, two, go. On the third time, let's read it. One, two, go. We are the circumcision. I have no confidence in the flesh. Where is your confidence? Oh, where is your confidence? In the covenant. Where is your confidence? Shout it. Where is your confidence? Oh, glory! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give up. We're going to dance and celebrate before we take this communion. You see, you need to be at that state. Do you understand? You need to be at that state. You know what we call steam? Steam. Have you heard of steam engine? You know what steam is? That's water in gaseous form. Amen. Gaseous form of water. Listen, what you can use steam to do, you can never use liquid water to do. You can't. And listen, there's a way that it's the same thing spiritually. There's an excitation and an excited state. You get to get some things to happen. Many Christians don't understand that. There's an excited state. Are you with me? Glory to God. And then certain things start sparking up. Sometimes it's revelation you begin to have. God will begin to multiply visions for you. Insight. Glory to God. Insight. This is not Kenneth Hagin in his 80s, in his meeting. You see him. How many of you watch those videos? Rejoicing. Glory. Glory. Ameka balakaya. Glory. Jumping. That's in his 80s. You, how old are you? You have to move your body. It's compulsory. You have to rejoice corporately and privately. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll read it from TPT, and then we're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice. I mean, look at what it says. It says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Actually, the original word that means we boast. Means we boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Let me read it here for you. Hallelujah. Who is ready for this? It says, for we have already experienced heart circumcision, and we worship God in the power and freedom of the Holy Spirit, not in laws and religious duties. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done, and not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. This is like the summary of this teaching. We boast in what Jesus Christ has done in the new covenant, and not what we can do in our own strength. We boast. King James says we rejoice. We boast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready to rejoice? Are you ready to rejoice? Maybe you declare it again and rejoice. I boast in what Jesus Christ has done. I have no confidence in the flesh. I have no confidence in the flesh. I have no confidence in the flesh. Listen, let me just add this for you. You see, this is what you need to hear. I can teach you about prayer. If you don't pray, you will not succeed. And then you go home and say, oh God, How do I pray for long? Help me, Lord. That will be works. But see, once I can show you the ability of the Spirit at work within you, you will pray that prayer. But you pray it with understanding. You pray knowing that it is God that works in you both to do will and to do of His good pleasure. It's not the same thing. Oh, Cora! 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 Oh, Cora! Oh, Cora! Hallelujah. Listen, it doesn't matter what you're believing God for. It doesn't matter what you are faced with right now. Rejoice in what Christ Jesus has done. Have no confidence in the flesh. The power of this gospel was, Ryan Bunker says, the gospel is like a lion. You don't need to kill the prey for him. Give him the prey, you tear it. Hallelujah. This gospel will bring to you that which you require. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your body broken for us. Thank you for your blood poured out freely for us. Merukapa, we take this, reminding ourselves that we are victorious. Reminding ourselves that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Reminding ourselves that we are in the harvest. We are in the harvest. We are in the harvest. Oh, shout, I'm in the harvest. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we break this. As we break this, we are whole. We are healed. We are prosperous. We are victorious. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Hey, there are two things I want your mind to be on. Number one, I want your mind to be on the Lord Jesus, His victory for us. And then number two, I want your mind to be on your expectations vis-a-vis the prophetic word given to us this month. Okay? The prophetic word given to us this month. Joyful harvest. The Lord has said this month, His favor is emphasized in our lives. And we are having overlapping testimonies. Overlapping testimonies of joyful harvest. Overlapping testimonies of emphasized favors. In the name of Jesus. Let's go ahead and share.
Victory. Victory.
go ahead and take the communion and start speaking in tongues. One more time.
Sing, I remember you've done for me. Your perfect sacrifice and victory, my victory to me. Lord,
hallelujah.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.